Sometimes you just have to understand that they get the picture. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, my Vice Chairman at the Institute, fellow analyst and good friend, Chuck Michaels.
And do they get the picture? That's the real question. I'm beginning to wonder, Barry.
Well, I think that honestly now, Chuck, after about 2.5 years, some people have actually had time to read the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the 2,700-page monster that was dropped on congressmen's desks at the bright hour of 7 o'clock in the morning with a vote called for 11, and they had to be ready to go. And so, you know what? They all did the responsible thing. They punted,
and voted,
asked their aides what it meant, and then voted regardless of what they knew was in there.
Well, as Nancy Pelosi said, you have to pass the bill so you can know what's in it.
Well, isn't that something? It's sort of like getting the white elephant prize. You have to go through the game before you know what you got.
To understand the rules, you have to actually play the game a few times.
Big problem with this one is, this isn't the white elephant. This was what the white elephant left behind.
Yeah. Took me a second, but yeah, I get it.
Well, what we're talking about is a recent comment by one of our favorite people, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota. We say that she's one of our favorite people because she's one of a handful of Congress people that Chuck and I have actually had the good pleasure of actually personally meeting and talking to in environments outside of the hallowed halls of Congress. Michelle is a multiple-term congresswoman from the state of Minnesota. She also, for a time there, had put her hat in the ring to be a nominee for the Republican Party for president this year. Chuck, she's been doing a lot of really good work that's honestly been going unheralded because of the way the media portrayed her, the way they tried to marginalize her and treat her, that she was a kook because she actually believed in her faith, the truth of God's word. Those things that we believe in, they call us dangerous for.
Well, they Palinized her. They did the Sarah Palin thing. She was basically hounded out of the race for what she said to Rick Perry about the Gardasil vaccine, more or less. And the fact is, she was absolutely correct to hound Rick Perry about the Gardasil vaccine because he was absolutely wrong. Now, I will say one thing, that she asked the wrong question. She made it about the damage that's done by the vaccine and not about the constitutional authority to actually order it be made a mandatory vaccine, which was the real question. So she allowed herself to get sidetracked, and this is what happens when you get sidetracked. But it doesn't matter. If she'd thrown that in as a sidebar, it would have been used as the primary means of running her out of the race anyway.
Oh, sure, absolutely. But the point is, just because people reacted strongly to it, like you said, doesn't mean she wasn't right. Because she was absolutely right. She just took it from the wrong angle.
Now, but
this time around, though, Chuck, I think she's taking this issue probably from the right angle. Although I'm sure that once the mainstream media gets a hold of her here, they're going to make her look like she's, you know, just shy of needing to be put into a psycho ward. Because
exactly. They're going to continue to further Palinize her. The only thing they really can't do at this point is pile ethic complaint upon ethic complaint on her, because actually in her current position, that would be handled by her legal fees would be paid by her congressional fund rather than personally like Palin had to deal with, which is why she quit being governor of Alaska. She was being personally bankrupted. And they did that on purpose.
This whole thing came up, and her comments, where I think she's being prescient again, was in relation to the Obamacare bill, and I'm not going to call it a law because it is no law, the Obamacare bill that being implemented at this point, and the Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius's argument that paying for contraceptives saves money by reducing health care costs. So in other words, us forcing religious providers to pay for contraceptive coverage against their religious beliefs is good because it reduces everybody else's health care costs. I knew they were going to try to figure out a way to hook this to make it look bad for the religious community who's looking at this as a direct assault on their religious liberties and their rights of conscience. So Michelle took a look at this, said, you know what? That analysis sets a really dangerous precedent. She said, going with that logic that Kathleen Sebelius had put forward, She and this is a direct quote from Michelle Obama that she had on Glenn Beck's program, The Blaze, said, going with that logic, it isn't far-fetched to think the President of the United States could say, we need to save healthcare expenses so the federal government will only pay for one baby to be born in the hospital per family, or two babies to be born per family. That could happen. So I'm not saying he's going to do it. I'm saying he has the power and authority to do it. Well, Charles, that's probably the only place I'd break faith with Michelle Bachmann. I don't believe he has either the power or the authority, because I don't believe, and I'm pretty sure you don't believe, that Obamacare is constitutionally valid.
No, but he has seized the power, but he definitely does not have the authority.
The authority is not there. Power may be in his hands, but the authority to behind it is not there.
Those are two entirely different things, and let's make it clear. Power is not authority.
That's right. There's two different things. So I'll agree with her halfway on that, in that comment. Now, again, I like the fact that she's trying to think this through logically and look at the logical extent of it. Because we talk to people all the time about following through with your presuppositions and taking them to your logical end of where it gets you. And when you start with a bad presupposition, i.e. that the government should be determining your health care, you could very well end up with the government determining how many kids you have or if you could have kids or not. They can determine whether or not you receive health care once you reach a certain age or a certain medical condition. They could determine whether or not you need to pay more than somebody else because you're in the 1% and they're in the 99%. All these things could be possible because we've basically ceded to the central government the power over our health. Now, the big problem is, Chuck, and we know Michelle Bachmann is a constitutionalist. She is the chairwoman of the congressional, the House Tea Party Caucus. We know she knows the Constitution and loves it as much as she loves her Lord and her and the scriptures. But it seems to be in D.C. and in other places, there seems to be a paucity of constitutional understanding because he does not have the authority to do this.
No.
The Constitution doesn't allow it. But then this article from LifeSiteNews.com also found and got a hold of a quote from a staff attorney for the group Americans for Limited Government. Boy, Chuck, I feel good about this group being out here, Americans for Limited Government, because we're all for that. And it's great that a group is formed up around that. Now, their staff attorney is the gentleman by the name of John Vincey. John Vincey said, in relation to Michelle Bachmann's comments, says, Michelle Bachmann's correct. There's nothing that prohibits Congress and the federal bureaucracies from saying they will only pay for up to two births. He said Congress and the bureaucracies. Now, he keeps going here, and I think this is where I kind of break fellowship with John Vincey and Americans for Limited Government. And he says, constitutionally, nothing prohibits the federal government from rationing the health care it subsidizes. You and I were talking about this offline, Chuck. We kind of started laughing and said, yeah, nothing but the Constitution.
Yeah, exactly.
Because honestly, folks, there is no constitutional provision for Congress or the federal bureaucracies or the President of the United States, none of them, to subsidize health care or to control its provision by rationing. That is not a legitimate constitutional governmental authority, an enumerated power under the Constitution of the United States, which is the governing document of this country.
And besides that, even if it were a delegated power, let's play theoretical for a minute. Even if this were a delegated power, who would have the authority to set the limits on where this would go and where it wouldn't?
Well, it would be the administration.
No. Oh, no. This would be in the hands of Congress.
In a perfect world.
Like everything else is in the Constitution. All the delegated powers are in the hands of Congress, not in the hands of the presidency.
You're absolutely right, but I'm saying in a perfect world that we're following the Constitution. That's true.
And that's what I'm saying. We're playing theory for a minute. Now,
this is the bizarro Superman world.
That's me am do good in school. Me get F. I don't know if you ever read the old Superman comics, and every once in a while they'd do a bizarro issue.
That's right.
Good was bad. Bad was good. People were ugly. The ugly people were handsome. The handsome people were ugly. It was a very strange world. And unfortunately, that's all the bizarro people are running our government at this point and putting a bizarro interpretation on the Constitution. Now, unfortunately, Barry, what this Mr. Vincey is elucidating is a modern view that comes out of constitutional law graduates from modern law schools.
That's true.
who never once cracked the Constitution in their entire 3 years in law school. They studied case law in all but a handful of universities, and apparently Mr. Vinci did not go to one of those handful of universities. Can't say that for sure, but from what he said here, it sure looks that way. The fact is, the Constitution militates against the president having any authority whatsoever to decide how many children you can have, and yet he's saying, well, the interpretation of the law would be, well, the law, just remember, Barry, that there is no authority in the Constitution for the Congress to hand over its legislative authority over to the executive branch.
No, as a matter of fact, they can't do it.
That's right, but they do it all the time because that's the way regulatory agencies work. Essentially, the Congress passes a law and then builds a regulatory agency that it gives the authority to, quote-unquote, regulate a business. Well, that's not the way this is supposed to work. And, you know, they claim because there's congressional oversight, you can have a hearing if Congress doesn't like the rule. Well, very often, especially under the current administration, the department heads are thumbing their nose at congressional oversight. So here we go, especially right now, the FDA.
That's true, but we've even got more evidence that Michelle Bachmann could be onto something here. Vinci kept going, and he talked about the economic principles behind this health care. He says, because of scarcity, rationing must occur. We know that. That's an economic principle. He says, under a healthy free market system, scarcity is regulated by price. When you got less of something, the price goes up in order to maintain the levels of distribution. And he says, but the point is, with Obamacare, we've rejected free market principles of price as the regulator of scarcity and replaced it with bureaucrats. Now, some of these bureaucrats, Chuck, include Obama's science czar, John Holdren. John Holdren's an interesting character because, as this article pointed out, he co-authored a book with Paul Ehrlich, who's a population control advocate, called Echo Science, and he wrote, quote, compulsory population control laws, even including laws requiring compulsory abortion, could be sustained under the existing Constitution if the population crisis became sufficiently severe to endanger the society. He also calls for a comprehensive planetary regime to set appropriate population levels for every country in the world. This is Obama's science czar, followed up by Kathleen Sebelius, his director of health and human services, the secretary of that agency. And they're the ones who are going to be making the interpretations on what we do with Obamacare. I think Michelle Bachmann's on to something. Sadly enough, I think she's absolutely right. And I think that we need to look hard at those congresspeople who voted in favor of Obamacare. And honestly, even if it means losing a majority, we need to get them out of there.
Barry, this octopus has a lot of tentacles. If you look at what was stated in EcoScience is essentially what is contained in a subject that we've done a couple of shows on, and that is the Agenda 21. UN's Agenda 21 is not just population control, but a population annihilation. They want a quote-unquote sustainable population of humans kept at about somewhere between half a billion and I think a billion. They'll do it by hook or by crook. Now, I was going to say when I read the early part of the article, and we get to it at the end, but that the next evolutionary step in this form of regulation of saying you can have two kids, you can do this, you can do that, we're only going to pay for so many, is to say the next thing is compulsory abortion.
Yes, and they've hit right on that.
Yeah, exactly. And they're actually talking in those terms. You couple that with the medical ethicists out of Australia that we did a show on, I think 10 days ago or so.
Yes.
And boy, you can really see the picture starting to form. You put a piece together here, a piece together there, the puzzle starts to fall together. And boy, what are you looking at? You've got medical ethicists already making the case that it can be done ethically, quote unquote, completely twisting the meaning out of that word. Then you get quote-unquote scientists, and if Paul Ehrlich is a scientist, I'll eat my hat, because this is the same Paul Ehrlich that was telling us that we were all going to die in the coming ice age in the 70s. Then he told us we were all going to boil to death in the coming global warming. And now that we go one set of years with exceeding cold, and now we're going into a hot year because the sun's more active, I wonder what kind of dance he's going to do on this. This guy doesn't have a scientific bone in his body. He doesn't have an observational bone in his body. He's an ideologue. And he's an ideologue that wants to create a religion based on worship of the earth.
Okay, well, I think we're probably just about out of time for today's program. So join us this weekend for the hour version of Principles and Policies at noon on this station. And be back with us again on Monday at 5:30 as we look at more principles and policies.